Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is called New Testament Scriptures. Thank you to Earl, Diane, and Dawn for being part of the service. The scripture reading is Matthew 22, 29 to 30. Happy birthday this week to Earl and to Peter, and happy anniversary to Ruthu and Kronti.
Well, Jesus replied, "You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven."
Morning, everyone. Thank you for being with us today. If you were commissioned to take one scripture only from each New Testament book, what scripture would you choose? I mean, if you could only take one scripture from each book, what would you choose? And I think we would have a variety of answers. And so what I want to do today, and this is basically will be a three-week preaching series, talking about scripture. So, for example, in the book of Matthew, Matthew is driving a large picture more than going to heaven, but rather showing what the kingdom of God is right here, right now, today. What is the kingdom of God here today? Well, it's Jesus living in us, right? And the Holy Spirit in us. And God living in us, reminding us, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you always." And sometimes we forget, especially when difficulties come our way. We need to be trusting with God. His time is sometimes different than our time, but he always tells us, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you always." And then, so as Matthew drives this picture, he says, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on the earth has been given. Therefore," and this is amazing, "go and make disciples of every nation," all nations of the earth, all nations, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Isn't it incredible what God is asking us to do and how grateful for we are because of what he's doing? So go and make disciples, baptizing them. And then he says, "And surely," and this to me is one of my favorite scriptures, "and surely I am with you always, 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 even to the end of the age." So that commitment, that promise, was some 2,000 years ago, and it's still our reality. So what could you choose from a scripture from, say, the book of Mark? And again, everyone could choose something a bit different. I'll share it with you. Mark 3, 31 and 33. "Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, 'Your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you.' And Jesus says these words, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' he asked. Then he looked at those seated in the circle around him and said these words, 'Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother.'" See, we're all related. It's marvelous. And then in Luke, "His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, 'Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has redeemed his people salvation. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us. In the house of the servant David, he said, through the prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies in holiness and righteousness before him is with us always, even to all of our days. Profound. The promises that Jesus made walking on the earth, 2,000 years later, we're still doing that walking. The very thing that he has said, helping us to do it, helping us to fulfill God's righteousness for each of us. So in Luke 3, the people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. Jesus answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of the sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire." Now, that's an interesting concept. Baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Okay, maybe we get that. And fire. And I think that possibly some of this means it energizes us. These promises are more than just, isn't that cool? No, no. It's more than that. Because when troubles come in life, if we can remember, we have a fire, we have a Spirit of God who's living in us, a fire that helps us in our potential to continue to strive forward with faith. These gospel letters are more than just letters. They're so relevant today. One of my favorite scriptures, and again, for all of us, you can choose any kind of scriptures. We all have different favorites, but this is one of my favorites in Acts chapter 2, 22 through 24. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know, because some of them witnessed that. This man, Jesus, was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. One day, we will die. We'll close our eyes and we'll open them and we'll be looking into the face of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and all of our loved ones. It's remarkable. So let's just notice this scripture. Romans chapter 8, 31 through 39. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave up for us all, how will he also, along with him, graciously give us all these things? Verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Now, it's true. There are many people who will want to intervene. They'll want us to turn away. But no, that's not going to be us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? No. Shall hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger or sword, and even though all of us have had horrible situations, terrible situations, wonder how in the world we'll ever get past any of these things. How can I ever reconcile any of these things? Well, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. I'm convinced that no matter what, life, death, angels, demons, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, will ever be able to separate us, never be able to separate us, never from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And someone might say, well, you really don't know what I've done. God does. And God forgives. And God continues to say, we are his child. So then you can go to the book of 1 Corinthians. Difficult book sometimes to grasp. I'll just read this in 1 Corinthians 1, 16 to 18. Don't you know, he says, that you yourselves, and this is amazing. We can put it this way. Don't you know that we ourselves are God's temple? And that God's spirit, temple, lives in us. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred. And then these precious words, and you are that temple. That's what he calls us, beyond all other things. A temple of God. Walking around today, sitting here today, we're all temples of God. How remarkable is that? So then men ought to regard us, because of that, as servants of Christ. And those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it's required that those of us who have been given a trust must prove faithful. So in other words, everything that I've been saying so far is, it's the truth. Maintain that truth. Be grateful to God for what he's giving us all the way through. So in 2 Corinthians, I think it's more of a transition. He says, examine yourselves to see whether or not you were of the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? And we forget that he lives in us and says, unless you fail that test, unless you forget. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Yes, sometimes we fail. Sometimes we back away. Sometimes we've said things, thought things, done things that we shouldn't have done. But God is always there. Some of us remember when our children were quite young and they came to us with tears in their eyes saying that they had done something wrong. I don't know of anyone else that would ever do this, you know, saying blah, blah, blah. They've come crying with tears. What do you do with it? You pick up the child, love the child, hug the child. Honey, I'll help you do better. And see, with God, he helps us to do better, to think better, to be encouraged from one another. So in Galatians, he says, I'm astonished that some of you are doing that. But let's not do that. And so when the Bible scholars put the Bible together, I think it was quite relevant that the book of Ephesians was next, because he says this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He's doing that in heaven and for us. And then he says, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Even before the book of Genesis was written, God already knew we existed until the day we were born. But he's never left us, and he never will. So praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He chooses us before the creation of the world. And it's hard to grasp, but it's true that we're blameless in his sight because of his love for us. Incredible. And then in the book of Philippians, this is a marvelous book. It's an optimistic book. It's a loving book. It's a book. If you have any encouragement in being in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, and of course we do with all of this, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one purpose. Don't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than ourselves, reaching out to them. Each of you should not look only to your own interest, but also to others. And this is what we do every Sunday morning, coming together, fellowshipping with one another. Some of us having challenges, some of us having difficulties, some of us weeping in tears, some of us with joy. It's all part of who we are. And through the New Testament book, there are these encouragements that we will share. Next week and the week after, we'll be looking in the Old Testament, and wow, there are some quite incredible things that we'll be noticing. So in 1 Thessalonians, he says, as apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you. And I love this. As a mother caring for her children, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of Christ, but sharing our lives, ourselves, reaching across to one another. For you know that we dealt with each of us as a father with his children. The God who calls us, and I don't know that we've ever really thought about this, but the God who has called us to his eternal glory. What did we do to receive this? Why are we so fortunate that God has taught us all these things, that he lives in us, that he encourages us, that he loves us more than we could ever love ourselves? And yet that is the reality of God. And then this young man by the name of Timothy, he says, the Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. No, such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared with a hot iron. And then it says, for God created everything to be good and nothing to be rejected by the word of God. And one of the ways of doing that is deep prayer. Prayer. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected by the word of God and prayer. Part of the word of God is God. And part of God is his word. There's no separation. It's all together. And so then Timothy says, here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also, listen to this, we will also reign with him. Have you ever thought of such a thing? Reigning with God? It's incredible. We will also live with him, we will endure, and we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, we'll remain faithful, for we cannot disown himself. He will remain faithful. We want to remain faithful. And so, a gentleman by the name of Titus, in his book 2:1-14, here are some encouraging words. You must teach what is in accord with sound teaching, with sound doctrine. Teach older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in the faith, in love, and endurance. Encourage the young men to be self-controlled, upright, and godly as they live in this present age, while we wait for God's blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own. We are a people of God who encourages us to encourage others. Remarkable, the wonderful gifts God gives us. And his commands don't seem like they're commands. It seems like, oh, this is such a joy. Let's continue with this. Philemon, this tiny, tiny little book. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will get this full understanding of all the good things that we have in Christ. Okay, let's start naming some of the good things in Christ. We'll be done in a week. It just never stops. It just continuously goes on. Now, Hebrews is a challenging book. Nobody really knows who wrote the book of Hebrews. It was once thought that the Apostle Paul did, but most scholars say, no, that's not the way he writes. Whoever wrote it, it's marvelous. Here's what he says in chapter 11, 35 and 36. Don't throw away your confidence. Okay, so what is this confidence? Everything that we've just been talking about. How God loves us. He never leaves us. He encourages us. He's all part of us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. All of these things. Don't throw it away. Don't throw those things away. It will be, listen, richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have been done through the walking of willing of God, you will receive the promise from God. And then James is a remarkable guy. He's kind of direct. He says this, don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who doesn't change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth so that we might be a kind of first fruits of all God created. It's just too much. It's just too much to grasp. Everything he gives to us. So hold it with holy fervor. For you know it's not with perishable things such as silver or gold that we've been redeemed by the forefathers, but by the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb, Jesus, of course, without blemish or defect. And then in 2 Peter, again, you are a chosen person. God chooses us. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're a people belonging to God so that we can declare his praises, who called us out of darkness into a wonderful light. Wonderful light. From in the darkness into God's brightness. 1 John, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only ours, but also for the whole world. 2 John 5. And now I'm not writing to you a new command, but one we have had from the very beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you've heard from the beginning, his command is, children, walk in love. That's our job. Gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell me about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. And then there's this book. There's no chapter, really. It's just one little thing. Jude. But you, dear friends, remember what the apostles foretold, that in the last days there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. They are people who are going to divide you. But no, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternity. And then lastly, in Revelation, it's amazing. And I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. And they were from every nation and tribe and people and language, and they were standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb of God, Jesus. And they were all wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God and sits on the throne to the Lamb." Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and honor and power will be to our God forever and forever. Can't you just wait? The remarkable power of God. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved worldwide. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.